All right, so you're here because you want to be a better leader, right? Specifically as a project manager, we're doing a deep dive today into some classic research to help you build a leadership checklist. Not just any checklist, but one you can actually use to analyze your leadership style. See how it's working for you, maybe how it's working against you in a project setting.
To do that, we're going to explore two key sources. First, we have a paper by Gerhard Friedrich that breaks down the four tasks every leader needs to master. This is according to the Bowers and Seashore model. And then we'll use Friedrich's analysis of different leadership styles to see how those tasks can be approached and how that impacts your project team.
So first things first, let's lay the foundation. Friedrich's paper outlines these four key leadership tasks, and he argues that they're crucial for both high-performing teams and a positive overall team climate. Now, I know team climate can sound a little vague, but think of it this way. It's the overall mood and feeling within the team. Is it a supportive and collaborative environment, or is it tense and competitive? These tasks directly contribute to that feeling.
Absolutely. And those tasks are promoting goal clarity and acceptance, fostering employee development, nurturing relationships, and improving working conditions.
All right, so let's break those down. First up, promoting goal clarity and acceptance. Now, this might seem obvious, but you'd be surprised how often projects go off the rails because the team isn't really clear on the goals or they don't buy into them.
You need.
Yeah, think of it like this. If you're building a house and everyone has a different idea of what the final product should look like, you're going to end up with a mess, right?
You need a blueprint everyone agrees on. And in a project context, that blueprint is the shared understanding of the goals and the why behind them. It's about making sure everyone on the team understands not only what they're doing, but how their work contributes to the bigger picture.
And Friedrich actually provides some practical tips on how to do this. One that really stood out to me is the idea of giving the team a voice in defining the goals. I can imagine that in a project setting where things can change quickly and new information is always coming in, that feeling of ownership can be a powerful motivator.
It absolutely can. When people feel like they've had a say in setting the goals, they're more likely to be committed to achieving them. It shifts from this is what the boss wants to this is what we want to achieve.
All right, next up, fostering employee development. We've all had those managers who are just focused on hitting deadlines, right? They don't really care if you're learning and growing along the way. But Friedrich argues that helping your team members develop their skills is crucial for long-term success.
And he's right. Think about it. In a project environment, things are constantly changing. You've got new technologies, new processes, tight timelines. If your team isn't developing their skills, they're going to fall behind. It's like trying to run a marathon with no training. You might be able to make it to the finish line, but it's going to be painful and you're not going to perform at your best.
That's a great analogy. And it highlights why this task is so important, not just for the individual team members, but for the success of the project as a whole. Okay, on to nurturing relationships. Now, this one might seem a little touchy-feely, but hear me out. We all know that strong relationships are the foundation of any high-performing team. But Friedrich actually suggests having regularly scheduled meetings, specifically for team members to air their grievances or talk through conflicts. Now, I know in a fast-paced project environment, every minute counts. So could this really work?
It might seem counterintuitive, but think of it as preventative maintenance. If you address those little tensions and conflicts early on, you prevent them from festering and blowing up into major issues down the line. Those kinds of blow-ups can completely derail a project. So taking the time to create a safe space for open communication can actually save you time and stress in the long run.
That makes sense. It's like that saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And finally, we have improving working conditions. Now, this isn't just about having fancy ergonomic chairs and a ping pong table in the break room. It's about making sure your team has the resources and environment they need to do their best work.
Think about it.
Yeah.
If your team is struggling with outdated technology, unclear procedures, or constant interruptions, even the most motivated and talented individuals are going to struggle to perform at their best. It's like trying to write a symphony on a broken piano.
Right.
It's just not going to work.
All right. So we've laid out, Friedrich's, four key tasks of a leader.
Right.
But how do these tasks play out in practice? How do they translate into concrete actions that you can take as a project manager?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Because how you approach these tasks will depend heavily on your leadership style.
Right.
And Friedrich identifies three main leadership styles. Authoritarian.
Okay.
Laissez-faire.
Mm-hmm.
And cooperative.
Okay.
And each style has its own strengths and weaknesses when it comes to implementing these tasks.
Okay. So let's dive into these leadership styles and see how they connect back to those four tasks.
Okay.
First up, the authoritarian leader. Now, you might picture a drill sergeant barking orders.
Right.
And that's not entirely off base.
Mm-hmm.
This is the my way or the highway type of leader.
Yeah.
They make decisions unilaterally.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on control and obedience.
Right.
And they tend to prioritize tasks over people.
Exactly. And while that approach might work in certain situations, like a military operation where quick decisions are crucial, it can create problems in a project management setting.
Right. Because in a project, you need people to be engaged.
Exactly.
To think creatively, to be proactive.
Yeah.
And if they're constantly being micromanaged and told what to do,
right,
they're not going to feel empowered to do their best work.
Absolutely. And it can also stifle innovation.
Okay.
People are less likely to speak up with new ideas or challenge the status quo if they fear being shut down or reprimanded.
Okay. Next up is the laissez-faire leader.
Right.
This is basically the hands-off approach.
Right.
They give their team a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They don't micromanage.
Yeah.
And they trust their team to figure things out on their own. Now,
right,
on the surface, this might sound pretty appealing.
Yeah.
Especially if you value autonomy and independence.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine it can also lead to chaos and confusion.
Right.
Especially in a complex project environment.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
While some people thrive with this level of freedom, others need more structure and guidance.
Right.
Without clear direction and accountability, projects can quickly go off track.
Yeah.
Deadlines can be missed, and team members can feel lost and unsure of what they should be doing. It's like setting sail without a map or a compass.
Great.
You might end up somewhere interesting, but you're more likely to get lost at sea.
Okay, so we've talked about the extremes.
Yeah.
The control freak and the hands-off delegator.
Right.
Now let's get to the sweet spot.
Mm.
The cooperative leader.
Mm.
This style emphasizes shared decision-making, open communication, and building trust within the team. This sounds a lot more aligned with the modern workplace, where collaboration and teamwork are so highly valued.
You're right. And research suggests that this style is often the most effective.
Okay.
Particularly in complex and dynamic environments like project management.
Yeah.
When you foster open communication and collaboration, you create a more positive team climate, which in turn leads to higher levels of engagement, creativity, and productivity.
Now, hold on a second. If a cooperative leader is all about shared decision making, doesn't that potentially conflict with that first task we talked about, promoting goal clarity?
Right.
If everyone's weighing in on everything, how do you actually make decisions and move the project forward?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it highlights an important distinction.
Okay.
Cooperative leadership isn't about achieving consensus on every single detail.
Okay.
It's about creating an environment where everyone feels heard.
Mm-hmm.
Their input is valued, and they understand how their work contributes to the shared goals.
So it's more about striking a balance between clear direction and empowering the team, right?
Exactly.
You provide the framework, the overall vision.
Yeah.
But you also create space for the team to contribute their ideas and expertise.
Exactly. And that's where the art of leadership really comes into play.
Right.
Knowing when to lead, when to listen, and how to adapt your style to the specific needs of your team and the demands of the project.
Okay. This is all starting to make sense, but I'm ready to get practical.
Okay.
How do we use all of this to build a leadership checklist that we can actually use as project managers?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's what we'll dive into next.
Okay.
Remember those four key tasks we discussed?
Yeah.
Well, we can turn those into reflective questions. to analyze our own leadership style.
Okay.
And identify areas where we can improve.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Let's break it down.
Let's start with promoting goal clarity. Think about a recent project you led. Did you clearly communicate the project goals and expectations to your team? And I don't just mean like sending out an email with a list of bullet points.
Right. It's more than just stating the goals.
Exactly. Did you explain the why behind the project? Did you help your team understand how their individual tasks connected to the overall objectives? And did you involve them in the goal setting process, even in a small way?
You know, now that you mention it, I realize I could have done a better job of involving my team in defining the goals. I tend to just present the plan and expect everyone to fall in line.
And that's a common trap, especially when you're under pressure to get things moving. But taking that extra time to get buy-in from the team can make a huge difference in their motivation and commitment.
Okay, so let's move on to the next task, fostering employee development. Thinking back to that same project, did you actively help your team members learn new skills and take on more responsibility? Did you provide regular feedback, both positive and constructive? Did you create opportunities for them to stretch their abilities and step outside their comfort zones?
And this is where your leadership style really comes into play. An authoritarian leader might take a more directive approach, assigning tasks and closely monitoring progress. A laissez-faire leader might be more hands-off, letting the team figure things out on their own. But a cooperative leader would likely take a more collaborative approach.
By working with each team member to identify their individual development goals.
Exactly. And then finding ways to align those goals with the project needs. It's about creating a win-win situation where the project succeeds and the team members grow and develop along the way.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now on to nurturing relationships. We already talked about the importance of open communication and addressing conflicts proactively. But what are some other practical strategies for building strong team relationships in a project setting?
Well, think about the environment you're creating. Is it one where people feel comfortable sharing ideas, asking questions, and even disagreeing with each other? Do you celebrate successes as a team? Do you make time for those informal interactions that build camaraderie and trust?
You know what? I tend to get so focused on hitting deadlines and deliverables that I forget about the human side of things. I need to make more of an effort to create those opportunities for connection and team building. Sometimes just grabbing lunch together as a team can make a world of difference.
Absolutely. It's about creating a sense of community, a shared purpose. When people feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves, they're more likely to be engaged and motivated.
All right, let's tackle the final task, improving working conditions. Now, we all know that a comfortable and well-equipped workspace is important, but this goes beyond just physical amenities. What are some other aspects of the work environment that leaders should pay attention to?
Think about the things that can hinder productivity and create unnecessary stress. Are your team's processes efficient and streamlined? Are communication channels clear and effective? Are people constantly being interrupted or pulled in different directions?
Oh, I know that feeling. I've been on projects where it felt like we were constantly putting out fires and dealing with last-minute changes. It was exhausting and demoralizing.
And that's where your leadership style can really impact the team's experience. An authoritarian leader might try to control every detail, creating a rigid and inflexible environment. A laissez-faire leader might be too hands-off, leading to confusion and disorganization. But a cooperative leader would likely involve the team in identifying bottlenecks and finding solutions.
So instead of just dictating how things should be done, you empower the team to take ownership of improving their own working conditions.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of continuous improvement where everyone feels empowered to contribute to making things better. And this ties back to something really important that Friedrich points out. These four leadership tasks aren't solely the responsibility of the leader. Team members can contribute to them as well.
Now that's a fascinating idea. So how can we as project managers shift our thinking and empower our teams to take more ownership of these tasks? I mean, it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking we have to control everything. But what if we let go of that control a little bit and create space for the team to step up?
That's where the real magic happens. It's about shifting from a mindset of control to a mindset of collaboration and shared responsibility.
So instead of just telling people what to do and how to do it, we create an environment where they can contribute their ideas, take initiative, and even challenge the status quo.
Precisely. Think about those four tasks in a new light. How can you encourage your team to take more ownership of goal setting? Could you facilitate a workshop where they brainstorm and prioritize project objectives?
That's a fantastic idea. And when it comes to employee development, how can we empower team members to drive their own growth?
Encourage them to identify their own learning goals, seek out training opportunities, or even mentor each other. Create a culture of continuous learning where development is seen as everyone's responsibility, not just the manager's.
I love that. And what about nurturing relationships? It's not just the leader's job to build a cohesive team. How can we empower the team to strengthen those bonds themselves?
Right. Encourage peer-to-peer feedback, create opportunities for social interaction outside of work, and foster a culture of open communication where people feel comfortable sharing ideas and concerns with each other.
This is all about creating a sense of collective ownership and accountability, isn't it? When everyone feels invested in the team's success, they're more likely to go the extra mile and support each other.
Exactly. And finally, think about improving working conditions. Your team is on the front line, so they're often the first to identify inefficiencies, roadblocks, or areas where processes could be improved.
So instead of just accepting the status quo, we empower them to speak up, suggest solutions, and even take the lead in implementing those solutions.
But precisely. It's about creating a culture of continuous improvement where everyone feels empowered to contribute to making things better.
It's funny, we often talk about leadership as this big abstract concept.
Right.
But when you break it down like this, it becomes much more tangible,
right.
Much more actionable.
That's the beauty of Friedrich's framework.
Yeah.
It gives you these concrete tools, these four key tasks that you can use to analyze your own leadership style and identify areas where you can improve.
And I love the idea that leadership isn't just about the person at the top.
Mm.
It's about empowering everyone on the team to step up and lead from within.
Exactly. And that can be a game changer,
yeah.
Especially in a project environment where things are constantly changing and you need people to be adaptable and proactive.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listener with a challenge.
All right.
Think about your next project.
Mm-hmm.
Think about those four key tasks.
Yeah.
Goal clarity.
Right.
Employee development, mm-hmm. relationships.
Yep.
And working conditions.
Okay.
How can you as a project manager create an environment where your team feels empowered to take ownership of these tasks?
Right.
How can you shift from a mindset of control to a mindset of collaboration?
Because when you do that,
yeah.
when you unlock that collective potential,
mm-hmm.
that's when you see truly extraordinary results.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into leadership.
Absolutely.
We hope you've gained some valuable insights that you can put into practice right away. Until next time. Keep learning, keep growing, and keep leading with purpose.